Good. It's great to see everybody. It's been a while since we've been here to join in one of the tent makers meetings, so it's good to be with you. Before I really start on what I feel like the Lord put on my heart, I just want to run an idea by you that came to me, I don't know, a few weeks ago, because I'm all the time thinking about multiplication and, you know, what that looks like in ministry and all of that. And one of the stories there that's frequently used to talk about multiplication in the kingdom is the feeding of the 5,000, because there's so much to treasure to mine out of that story. But I'm just sitting and prayerfully meditating on it, and the Lord sort of dropped this thought in my head. Why do you think the little boy had the fishes and loaves? What, it was 5 loaves and 2 fish? Is that what it was? Why do you think he had those? And I'm like, well, that's a really good question. I just always sort of heard it, you know, he gave his lunch, right? You've heard that. The little boy gave up his lunch. But that doesn't really make any sense, okay? First of all, I don't think he'd have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish if that was his lunch, right? And everybody else was out of food. And we don't know how old the boy was, but he was apparently not there with parents. So he was, you know, maybe a teenager or something like that. Because if he'd been there with parents, then the parents would have been involved in that transaction of giving up their food, right? Jesus wasn't taking the food from the little boy without the consent of his parents, if that had been the dynamic going on. So I just thought, and suddenly it dropped into my head. He was an entrepreneur. He saw an opportunity. You had this huge crowd of people who'd been out following Jesus, and this industrious little Jewish boy said, here's a great opportunity. And he took some food out and was selling the food. He was a vendor. And that's why the disciples could identify him so readily. Right? Wow. Well, there is a young boy here that's got a little bit of food, but what is that among so many?
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I really think that Jesus used that little boy and his entrepreneurial spirit to teach everybody a huge lesson that day about multiplication, about a spirit of poverty, and about a God's spirit of provision for us. And then the follow-up thought to that was, what do you think they did with the 12 baskets of leftover food? I don't know. We're not told. But I bet you a dollar or a denarii. That's at least a couple of baskets of that went back to the little boy.
Yeah.
I bet you it did. Don't know. And I don't know. For me, that just sort of threw a different light on that situation. But doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
He was out there hustling, you know, and God honored that.
Yeah.
Because they didn't buy the food from the little boy. It says the little boy gave it to him. So when he saw the need, he was willing to give what he had. And as you've heard before, God is not interested in what you do not have. He is always interested in what you do have.
Yes.
That you'll give to him. And so I just think that's a neat sort of twist on the story. Don't make a doctrine out of it, because I can't support it in Scripture. But I do think it makes sense, and it even adds more to the story for me of the heart of the Father in that. Okay? He's honoring the young man, blessing him, using a real-life example to teach a much larger spiritual principle and all of that. So, all right. So John asked me on, when was it, Monday? I think.
Monday or Tuesday.
If I would consider speaking today, because Howard and Becky are under their COVID quarantine still. I chatted with them a little bit this morning, and they're both doing better. So that's good to hear. So I just prayed about it. And the Lord dropped a thing in my head that I really hadn't thought about in, I don't know, 25, 30 years. And so I thought I'd present it to you this morning. How many of you are familiar with the Old Testament teachings about gleaning of the fields? Right? I know it's familiar. You've heard that. So I want us to look at that today and what all that principle of society that God instituted, okay, what all the principles are that we can apply to Christian businesses today. So let's go to Leviticus 19. This is the first mention of this in Scripture, Leviticus 19, 9 through 10. I want you to notice the context which is in chapter 19, verse 2. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Okay? That's the context. And then the Lord, through Moses, starts giving some specifics of what that looks like. Be holy because I'm holy. And here is what are the, here's some of the ways that looks like. And he starts talking about honoring your father and mother. Sort of a repeat of the Ten Commandments with some other things added in. Don't turn to idols. How to offer your peace offerings, etc., etc. And then it gets down to verse 9. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So again, the context is, what does living out the holiness of God in a business and in community, what does that look like? Well, it looks like a lot of things, but this principle of gleaning was one of those things that it looks like. So let's go over to Deuteronomy 24. Because it adds just a couple of other details. In verse 18, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over the boughs again. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, you shall not glean it afterward. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this thing. Okay, so the gleanings were what? It was the parts of the harvest left in the field after like the first pass through. Okay, so say the field is ripe, ready for harvest, whether it's wheat, barley, grapes, olive trees, whatever. It's ready for harvest. And so they go through and they harvest it. Okay. And he tells them, don't go back and get what's left. Leave it. Okay. Now there are a few things you'll notice in here. He doesn't really define how large are the margins of the field. Okay. He leaves that up for their discretion. He doesn't really determine for them how closely do you gather in the corners, right? You see the wisdom in that? Why? You know, if this were a law that their salvation was depending upon, God would have been very specific, like he was in certain things about the offerings and the preparation of the high priest to go into the Holy of Holies, and it's a very, very specific things. Why do you think God did not specify, what does the margin of the field mean? Is that 2 rows in? Is that 3 rows in? Is it 12 rows in? Okay. When I harvest in the corner, do you want me to leave like, you know, 10 feet in the corner? Do you want me to leave only a foot in the corner? Why do you think God didn't specify that? Yeah. Absolutely.
Amen.
He's leaving it up to the heart, the discretion, and the needs of the individual involved. Okay? But the principle is there. And this is how the kingdom of God operates, right? He gives us the principles. He gives us the commandments to follow. But then we're supposed to partner with him and listen to him and let our heart get in alignment with his heart. So we're not trying to follow some letter of the law, but we're trying to use the provision God has provided to accomplish the work of his kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this instruction on gleaning was for the benefit of the landowner and for the benefit of the community. And that's the way Christian business is supposed to be. It's for the benefit of you and your family. It's also for the benefit of your community. And that's really the heart behind this principle of gleaning. So there's 3 types of giving that the Bible talks about. Okay, tithes, What's a tithe? Come on, talk to me. What's a tithe?
10%
of what? Yeah, basically 10% of your income. Okay? And if you want to start arguing, is that pre-tax, after-tax, okay, that's between you and God. Okay? That's where the discretion of your heart and really wanting your heart to line up with the kingdom comes in. Really wanting your heart to line up with the Holy Spirit comes in. You have to sort through those things. It's not a letter of the law. Is tithing a commandment in the New Testament? Actually, no. But it is a clearly taught principle.
Yes.
Okay. Why do you think it's not a commandment in the New Covenant? It was a commandment in the Old Covenant. Why do you think it's not a commandment in the New Covenant? For the same reasons he didn't specify how big the margins of the field are supposed to be. Okay. God is inviting you in to a place of blessing where he will build your character, where he will build your business, where he will build, he will keep blessing you so you can bless others. Okay? So tithing is a clear taught principle all through Scripture.
Yeah.
But it's not truly not a commandment of the New Testament. And some people will argue that point with you. And I'm like, you're right. It's not a commandment. Your salvation does not depend on whether you tithe or not. But your blessing does. Okay? If you really want to be in alignment with God, it does. So tithes are the first form of this giving. The second form are offerings. What are offerings? Above the tithe, and if you look through the Old Testament, offerings were for like something specific. Okay, there's this project going on. There's this. They're taking up offerings of all who have a free heart to give for the building of the tabernacle, for the building of the temple. They would take up offerings for special visions, for special projects. Okay? And that's above the tithe. And then there were alms. What are alms? For
the poor.
For the poor. Yeah. Alms are for the poor.
Alms for the poor.
So you've got tithes, which to me, in our understanding, that's like the beginning of a Christian's generosity. If you have a free heart to give, a tithe is not your end point, it's your beginning point.
Yes.
Okay? And then you have offerings. So people have given to this building project going on, as an offering above the tithe, right? We don't have building drives. But people see the need and they give to that. And that's the way it works. In the mission field, you cast out vision and people will feel God convict them to give toward that school or that orphanage or that feeding program or whatever. Okay, those are offerings. But then you have alms, which are specifically for the poor. And God expects us as individuals and I think corporately and as Christian businesses to always have all three types of giving in mind if we really want to be in alignment with God. Okay? So, a tithe of your income. Offerings as you are led by the Holy Spirit to give to specific things. But always, always, always alms for the poor.
Yeah.
Okay? The Bible is full of warnings about oppression of the poor. It is full of judgments about those who oppress the poor. And it is full of promises of blessings for those who bless the poor. Okay? God has his eye and his heart are always upon those who are poor and marginalized. This principle of gleaning I'm talking about today falls into the alms category. And I really want you to hear that because I've had many discussions over the years with other Christian business people. And they would say, well, like my tithe is the commitment of our business to our community. Or they'd say, no, you know, we give to certain things we feel led to give to, feed back into the community, give back to the community. That's great. Okay, that is great. But there also needs to be a place specifically, I believe, in every Christian business for a vision of how to reach out to the poor.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll find those principles that are presented in a very healthy way in these principles about gleaning. So that's what we're talking about today. So is that clear? Okay. So we're not talking about your tithe. We're not talking about your offerings that you give to whatever special projects that you feel led to give to. We're talking about an intentional service to the poor in your sphere of influence in your community. And then we're going to end up by getting some feedback on what you might think that looks like for you and where you're at. So let me go through this a little bit. The three underlying principles of gleaning that we just read about in those passages in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, the first is there's an obligation to the poor. In Deuteronomy, when it says, when you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, don't go back and get it. Okay, we can tend to read that in our westernized thinking is like an absent-mindedness, or the harvesters were going through the field and they accidentally left something in the field. That's not what it means. The word there in Hebrew means an intentional act. So it's like, I'm going to forget this sheaf in the corner on purpose. That's what it meant. It didn't mean it was neglectful or overlooked. Okay. So again, intentionality, an obligation to the poor, okay, is very, very important. The principle of sowing and reaping. The promise there in the Deuteronomy passage was, do this so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. Okay. Again, you see this taught all through Scripture, Old and New Testament, that the kingdom operates through this principle of sowing and reaping. Now, you know, I think we're all past that, I hope, the prosperity gospel kind of teaching where, yeah, I'm going to sow $10 here and I'm going to sit back and wait for my $100 check in the mail, right? That's not how it works. But there is sometimes that's how it works. God shows up that way sometimes. But that's not the heart behind sowing and reaping. The heart is it all belongs to God. We're going to sow every place that we get an opportunity to sow in a healthy way. And we trust God is going to return abundantly and meet our needs. Right? That's sort of the principle. And the gleaning taps into that same principle, or is based upon the same principle of sowing and reaping. And then the third main principle, it says, talks about doing this with a grateful heart. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And because you remember that I have delivered you, do this thing. So it's with a grateful heart. It's not begrudgingly. It's not, oh gosh, something I've got to do, you know, and you don't want to, like God's dragging you and you're kicking and screaming into turning loose of some of the money he's provided for you. That's not the heart. You're doing it with a grateful heart, knowing what he has delivered you from and taking you from a place where you had nothing.
Yeah.
And I would dare say about every one of us in here has been in a place where we had nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's taking you from a place where you had nothing to a place where you had more than you needed. And that's the heart behind the gleaning. Don't forget that. And so you have a responsibility for those who are poor and marginalized. Okay, and the categories it says is the strangers, the wanderers, the fatherless, the orphans, the widows, the outcast. Okay, these are the ones the gleanings are for. Again, very intentional based upon these principles. So let me go through quickly some of the specifics here. Okay. Is this a teaching that is somehow anti-business? And the answer is no. It's actually just the opposite. It's very pro-business. God is all about businesses run upon biblical principles. It's his idea. And it's part of what he instituted and integrated into the society, the Jewish culture, that he specifically set up to be a representation of himself upon the earth. And it's supposed to be integrated into the church as that same model of representation of the character of God. Be holy as I am holy. So, and then he talks about gleaning. So the gleaning is not just a way to serve the poor. It's also a very clear manifestation of the character and the heart of God in community. Okay, so the sort of specifics about gleaning, telling the landowners, the harvesters, you're basically reaping the most profitable for yourself. Okay, if you've been around farms and you look at almost any field you want to, the harvest is best in the main part of the field, not along the edges. True?
Yes.
Yeah. Because along the edges, the ground usually has not been worked up as well. Okay, it's right on the edge of where the tractor went, where the disc went, where the plow went. It usually has not received as much fertilization and as much care. It's usually covered over with more shade, especially in the corners. If you're in Tennessee anyway, the fields are all cut out of the forest, right? And so God was not telling them to leave the best for the poor. He was actually telling them, take the best for yourself. Okay? Now, you need to hear this. This is not a selfish teaching. This is the principles of gleaning. Okay? God wants to honor you and bless you. That's what he said. Do this so I can bless the work of your hands. And so for people who practice this principle of gleaning and intentionally using their businesses to reach out to the poor, God will make sure that the abundance of your crop in the main part of your field is more than sufficient to meet your needs, to take care of what you need to do. So the goal is not to extract every bit of wealth for yourself that you can. That's never the business of Christian business, is to extract all of the wealth for your own use. The business of Christian business is to provide for your needs, your family needs, and to have leftover to bless your community. Okay? That's what it looks like. So, reaping the most profitable for yourself. And then, as we were talking about those precise decisions about how much of the margins, how many rows do we leave, that's left up to you and your needs. And what you feel like the Holy Spirit's leading you to. It's not a percentage. Okay? God never, the only place God specifies a percentage is in the tithe. Okay? Everything else, where he talks about having a generous heart, is he's inviting you to step into his plan. He's inviting you to get in alignment with his heart. Okay? He wants your needs to be met. He is the creator. He's the one that gives creative ideas of business and vision for business. Okay? He's the one that drops in all those crazy things that you do sometimes as an entrepreneur. The risk that you take. Okay? And as long as you're trying to line yourself up with him. So a second specific is the law of diminishing returns. And we were just talking about this. One of the things that you have to have as a Christian business person, any kind of successful business person, is to know where to focus your time and your energy. Okay? If your focus is on extracting every dime that you can out of your business, you're going to find that you're spending way too much time and effort on things that are not actually returning much to you.
Come on.
Okay?
Yep.
Does it make sense, Dino? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so just think about this in terms of the agrarian society in which God gave these commandments. The landowner was having to pay workers of the field. Okay, so they go through and they harvest, a great harvest out of the field. And now he says, okay, I want you to go back and I want you to glean all the corners and the edges. Go through it good. Don't leave anything in the field. How much are they going to get on that second or third pass through compared to the first pass?
Right.
Very little. But yet he's paying them the same. You only have so much time, energy, and focus. Okay? The principle of gleaning for business owners is actually to help guard you to against burnout, against being so focused on efficiency, so focused on extracting every dime, the profits, that you actually burn yourself out by getting involved in all of the micromanagement of the details. Okay. There is a place, and I could give you a lot of stories on through our vet clinic over 30-something years of how we came to see that by making mistakes. And then we would pray and we would retool, we would redirect, go, that's not who we are. And it's taking way too much focus and energy in our employees' time and causing too much like angst and worry and complaints for very little return, you know, comparably speaking. Just give you one quick example of that. There was so much pressure back in the 90s, okay, for vet practices to all incorporate in like a pet grooming business. And we had a lot of our employees that even wanted to be involved in that. And I'm like, no, that's not who we are. We've got several really good groomers in this area who are good clients of ours. I promise you that you will have 10 times the number of complaints from dog grooming that you ever have from treating sick dogs. Okay? You know, and so very counterintuitively and against all the business models in our industry that were being presented at that time, is like, no, we want to keep blessing the people in our community that is their livelihood, that's their job. We don't need to do that. God is providing well with what we're doing. And that was just one example among many. But every business is subject to those kind of temptations, right? Another example, there was a young man in the area that wanted to clean out our stalls, the large animal stalls, for the manure that he could get, because then he would use it in his garden and he sold some to other people. Okay, now we paid him for doing it. Okay, I had employees on the clock who were used to doing that, right? But it just made sense. Here's something I can do. This is a gleaning. Okay, we're not. It's getting us no return, but yet it's taking up quite a bit of focus and energy and time of employees. Here's a young man who deserves an opportunity. He's got an entrepreneurial spirit, so let's let him come in. We'll pay him to clean the stalls, and then he can take and then repurpose the manure, okay, and make more money that way. Okay, that's just a very simple example of gleaning. Okay, you're not trying to extract and save every dime or dollar. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So the principle of diminishing returns, if you don't watch out for that as a business owner, it will really trap you, and you will come into a burnout situation because you get so caught up in all the little details. A third specific here is that the word used for gleaning in the Hebrew, it means something that's rough, something that's difficult. Malicious treatment. It's talking about like a force, something that you're having to force. Okay. So in the wisdom of God, if you can release something that you're having to force and bless somebody else, that for them that's a step up and meets their needs. See, that's a win-win all the way around.
Amen.
And so there's a warning in this principle of gleaning about not trying to hold on to the branch. Imagine like you're running your hands down a grapevine to try to strip off all the grapes. Okay, that's sort of the picture of gleaning as presented by the word in the Hebrew. Okay, so for you as a business owner who have the whole vineyard at your disposal, does it make sense to be wearing yourself out stripping the last grape off of the vine? Or does it make more sense to see the opportunity in that to bless someone else?
Yes.
Okay. A fourth specific is that gleanings are for the unemployed, the underemployed, the widows, the orphans, and the foreigners. That presumes that there's some kind of market economy going on. There's a community involved, right? And it covers lots of different areas. It covers people who are transient in your community. It covers those who are truly in need because of their status, not because of laziness. And this is an important principle. Gleaning, the principle of gleaning was not you send your laborers back into the field, you glean all that was left, and then you go give it to a beggar. That's not what gleaning was about. Gleaning was about providing a provision and an opportunity for people. Yes. It was not rewarding laziness, yes, but it was providing an opportunity for people because of their current status in life who need an opportunity.
Amen.
One of the great blessings in my life is after Jackie and I got married and I was still in undergrad school, I started working for a large farm owner in Putnam County. His name was Bill Smith. And they had, I don't know, it was a really big farm. And actually, two or three farms. And we would raise like 12 to 15 acres of tobacco a year. We would put up 20,000 square bales. That was before the round bales came into effect. We would fix fence every day. We would do all the things you had to do on a large operating farm. Okay? He paid $2 an hour, which at that time was good. Okay? And this was the first time I had ever personally experienced, that I recognized anyway, the recipient of the gleanings in my life. And I still remember the impact it had on me when we got our first pay. He always just paid us in cash, $2 an hour. It didn't take a whole lot of cash to pay you, right, for a week. But he would say, how many hours did you work this week? And so, well, we came in at this time, we left at this time, this many days. You know, we were out for lunch about an hour because it was hot, hard work. So a lot of times at lunch, we would take a little bit of a break. Sometimes we'd go for a quick swim in Fallen Water River because it was right along the river. You know, and you'd rest, maybe take a little siesta, okay? And then you'd go back to the field. So maybe sometimes lunch would be 2 hours long. And so we would tell him, okay, we work this many hours in the morning, this many in the afternoon. And he said, no, don't take out for lunch. What time did you get here in the morning? What time did you leave in the evening? And he paid us for the whole time, okay, including whatever breaks we took and whatever lunch time we took. And I still remember, as a young man, what a blessing that was and what a generous heart. See, up until then, I'd only ever worked, like for myself, mowing yards, or I'd been on a clock in a furniture factory or construction working. I'd always been on a clock, okay? So you never got paid for breaks and for lunch. And I still remember, that's like a gleaning. That's like, he's not trying to just use us for our labor. He's not trying to save every dime he can. He's actually using this opportunity to bless us way beyond what we deserve. You don't deserve to be paid while you're eating lunch or taking a dip in the river, right? But yet that was his heart. And I know without him ever telling us that that was his way of giving us an opportunity of the gleanings from his farm. Okay. And so it is a reward, an opportunity for those who are willing to work. It is not a welfare. It is a charity. Because you're giving something of a free heart that is rightfully yours. You're making it available to someone else. But it's not a welfare in the sense of something for nothing. Okay? There is a place for to take care of those who cannot provide for themselves in any way. There is a place for that. God never really criticizes beggars in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying people need to go out and be beggars. But there are some people in some lots in life and certainly in some countries that have no choice but to have that lifestyle. And if you look at God healed Peter and John healed beggars. Okay? So, but that's not what gleanings are. Gleanings are about providing an opportunity for those who are willing to work. This is what Ruth was doing when she got the attention of Boaz. She was gleaning in the field. And so this principle of gleaning invites people who are normally would be marginalized into community, into society, so that they're not separated. They're recognized. You get a chance to see their work ethic. You get a chance to know their character. How many of you, and I bet almost everyone in here, how many of you have hired someone, maybe a young person, and they super impressed you with their character and their work ethic? And you started thinking, okay, I need to find a way to get them to step up. You know, I need to open up a door of opportunity for them so they can step up even more. Like they're going to be a valuable employee. They've got so much potential, right? Okay. If you don't have a place for the gleanings, for people to work in the gleanings, you'll miss those opportunities.
Wow.
So sometimes, as a business owner, you need to make opportunities that you don't necessarily need in your business, okay? But if you're at a place where you can do that, you start opening doors up for people to step in so that they can be proven, they can be tried. They can be integrated into that world instead of ostracized from that world.
Amen.
Because of their background, maybe where they live, family background, whatever. Okay? Does that make sense to you? Yeah, so gleanings was a great institution, a great principle that God put into their culture that brought community together instead of separating between the poor, the haves, the have-nots, the poor and the rich.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I'm about finished.
That's good.
So, just to summarize, the gleaning model is redemptive. It's modeling grace and mercy. It brings dignity and worth because of the work ethic involved. There are very few things that will build self-esteem in a healthy way, like someone learning that they can be productive, that they can provide for their own, that they can work with their own hands and actually produce something of value. That brings such a strong sense of self-esteem. And you see it especially, we raised three boys, and you know, that's something that we really worked on, and they all three today have a great work ethic, almost like their dad sometimes to a fault, okay? But they do. And so it's very, very important. It brings dignity and worth. It redeems relationships. It includes people instead of excluding them. And it manifests the loving kindness and the provision of God. I want to read to you a quote from a paper that was done on this. I'll give the guy credit. His name is Bruce Baker. I do not know him. This was written in 2016 from the School of Business at Seattle Pacific University. I came across this on the internet. And he did a beautiful job of explaining gleaning. He must be Jewish. He didn't say if he was, but his whole perspective was about the Torah and the Jewish culture. So I think he probably is. This is his quote that was close to the end of his paper. "This is God's plan for the marginalized to be recognized, to receive human dignity by dint of their productive work, to feed themselves and their families. In short, to be included in the economy and not left out of it. Okay? Make sense to you?
Yeah.
So I want you to give me some feedback and give each other some feedback on what gleanings might look like in your situation. How could you open up the corners and the margins of your field of business in an intentional way to reach out to the poor? Okay? It can look like a lot of things. There's not just one model. One of the ways for us, and because this is something we've tried to be intentional about in our lives, and so one of the ways for us was we set aside a certain amount of proceeds from the sale of our business to sponsor two young men that we really got close to in Mozambique who had never been able to complete high school level education because of the school fees involved. Okay, and so now those young men are both in their fifth year of university, one studying business, one studying to be a doctor. Okay, so we've been with them like 6 years now. Okay, but going on the sixth year, they have to work hard. They have to send us receipts of their payments. They have to send us their grades every semester. Okay, and then we send the fees for the next semester. They're working, but these are gleanings from what the Lord provided us that we're able to make available to them. And then through that, they're going to be blessed, and they're going to be a blessing to their community in a village called Noviana that's an extremely poor village in Mozambique. Okay, so that's just one example. I told you some of the others that I had been the recipient of, and another example or two of things we've done business-wise. But what does it look like for you? Let the creative juices start to flow here from the Holy Spirit. Yes.